Welcome to Playful Beginnings, a podcast about the magic of play therapy for therapists, students, and anyone interested. In our podcast, we'll explore the deeper understanding of play therapy and the skills we use when working with children.
We hope to help you understand the why behind what we do and how it helps kids heal and grow. I'm Dr. Christy Opiola, a working play therapist and university professor in North Carolina.
I'm Dr. Maggie Parker, a play therapist and professor in DC.
Good morning, Christy.
Good morning, Maggie.
How are you? Oh, I need to put my play therapy background on.
Do you want to start again or you want to keep going?
No, let's just keep going.
Okay. I am good. Thanks for asking. Lots are coming up. Maggie and I will be at the Association for Play Therapy Conference next week. And so we are actively getting ready for that, as well as trying to, you know, put out all fires on the home front so that we can be away for a week. So as everyone here probably feels the same way, it's an exciting week. But it's also, there's a lot of prep to get there. So we are, you know, overdrive trying to get things prepped, complete it here so that we can go away and do learning and network and connect with
friends,
fellow play therapy peeps across the country. And so, which is an exciting time.
It is happy. I did, this is a humble brag. So I got the email about the award ceremony. Okay, you need to be here at 7. And excuse me, what?
Why?
I don't know. And we have to rehearse. And I thought the rehearsal was at 6:30 in the morning. And I was like, oh, Kathy Levy, who's the CEO. And I just wanted to be, no, you don't know me well enough to know that I do not function early in the morning, but it's 6:30 at night. So that's okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So as long as I have a snack,
you'll be good.
I'll be fine.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're really excited. Christy's presenting twice?
No, just once.
And what are you presenting on?
I'm presenting on the work that we did at North Carolina APT on helping our community recover after a very large natural disaster to Western North Carolina.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Discussion group on Thursday morning.
Yeah.
And it's cool.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It is crazy. It feels, I feel like I haven't prepared enough. I just texted, I'm presenting with Kara Carnes-Holt on the duality of motherhood and play therapy and a research project. It is, it's something that we never talk about, which is
the majority of our field are mothers. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're not mothers or
caregivers. And I dropped a cat in my breakfast. Dare I eat this off the floor of GW? I don't know.
Yes. I know Maggie well enough that she's gonna eat it.
I didn't, I threw it away.
Oh, did you? Good for you.
Thank you.
I just vacuumed my office, so I know my floor is clean right now.
Wow, look at you.
Our university doesn't clean our internal offices. So
interesting.
We can take that off the podcast.
Yeah. Okay. So what are we talking about today?
We are talking about encouragement. Dun, dun, dun.
And I find that this is really helpful for caregivers and teachers also. I think this is one that, I think all of them really resonate across. I've been working, a lot of the students in my intro to play class are teachers. And so I'm trying to kind of remind, there's a lot of, but I'm a teacher and then this is so different. I'm like, it is, but it also can be infused within your teaching, that it doesn't have to be two distinct roles, that these things can influence how you are in the room as a teacher, just as much as within the play therapy space. Because if we're looking at the impact on the child, it would be the same.
Yes. Yeah. But I also think it's really important for play therapists because it does counter our culture right now a little bit, because we have a very praise heavy society where kids get rewards for everything. We have this strong desire to help them feel good. Mm-hmm. So we use things and statements that have evaluative process or evaluative words in them, or words that feel judgmental, which kind of is counter to child-centered play therapy. So I think encouragement is a really important skill within the CCPT community, so that we can help really build children's intrinsic motivation instead of having them really dependent on external validation for the work that they're doing or the products that they're producing or whatever it is.
Yeah. And I think it really, in that way, I think this is true, and I hadn't thought about it before, or we haven't discussed it before, but really how so much of child-centered is counterculture. That it's really kind of bucking up against the system where so much is externally motivated. Mm-hmm. And we are often Well, I'll speak for myself. I'm very extrinsically motivated. When someone gives me praise, I'm like, oh, this is so great. And it feels so good. And the reality is that internally, that is way more because then you don't have to rely on someone else. And who we are with that belief from child-centered is that who we are intrinsically is the most valuable as opposed to who others believe us to be. And that's what we're really working towards.
Yeah, and I think that we're not always going to have people available to us to let us know if we're doing a good or bad job, or that we're awesome or not awesome, or whatever the evaluative, label is, as well as the idea that if I'm always dependent on other people, then what does that mean for how I view myself?
Right.
Do I only have value and worth when others identify my value and worth? Or do I believe I don't have value and worth for myself? And I think that can be really detrimental to individuals and their, actions they choose to take, or because it can put you in real precarious situations at times.
Right.
You're waiting or needing the validation of the people around you.
Yeah.
And I think, I teach a development class and we're getting to that age where peer influence gets really strong, but it's also a really dangerous time for kids because if they are really dependent on external motivation or external validation, then they will put themselves in harder situations, even if internally they know that it's not the right decision for them, right? Which could cost them their life, could cost them their capabilities, it could cost them their freedom. It has a lot of weight for them. And that seems extreme, but it is, I think, more and more we need to look at extreme since we're seeing such extreme behavior in society.
We are. We absolutely are. And I think that's a very important point. And I think that's often sometimes confused in society as to, is providing encouragement and many of the skills that we do coddling. And I don't think that's the case at all. I think it is a opportunity for children to experience the emotions and self-regulation and limits and bringing self under control and relying on self as opposed to relying on others. And that's so important, especially when it's not just peers face to face that are do that are providing these opportunities. It's within social media, it's faceless, it's so many things that I think developing this early is vital.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And, if we think about the very early life experiences is really rooted in external motivation, right? How often the parent claps, kids do something, and we get so excited about those things. But then that switches as we have expectations for kids as they become more capable. And I think that's a perfect time to implement more encouragement than praising sticks with kids. So let's
Yeah.
talk about what is encouragement.
Yeah. So I think about a really kind of simple way is that you're encouraging the effort and instead of praising a product. And so really looking at you worked so hard on this, you were really focused, and also recognizing their internal experience as opposed to my reaction to their product. So you're really proud of how, of course, I'm thinking about baseball. You're really proud of how well you played. You're really excited that you caught that ball, as opposed to, I'm so proud of you because you caught the ball, right? I'm proud of my kids no matter what. And kids, but their experience of excitement, their recognition of the hard work that they put in, and the internal experience of the reward of that hard work is more important than what praise I can put on it. What else? What'd I miss?
Well, I was going to say, I focus not only on effort, but also process. What's the word I'm looking for? Their attempts at problem solving and the creative ways they approach problem solving. I also look at persistence and tenacity and grit in situations, as well as sometimes a contribution that they're offering, if it's on a team or if it's within a family or if it's, within group in the playroom.
Right.
Those may be times that I do choose to use encouragement. And I do want to say, and Maggie kind of alluded to this, but for me, encouragement really focuses on not only intrinsic motivation, which she talked about, but that idea of self-esteem, their sense of capabilities,
Yeah.
right? So they get to be the one who ultimately evaluates what's happening instead of it requiring someone else to evaluate, which would make them dependent on that external feedback and validation.
Yeah. And I think something that you said, I feel like I've heard a lot recently, which is grit. And
That comes out of the, oh my gosh, I just blanked on it. Growth mindset.
yes,
Sorry, brain is
it
full.
came. I had no idea. I was like, I'm just gonna wait for you because I don't know.
It's a growth mindset word
Yes. And
for
this
Carol
idea that
Dweck.
we don't want as adults to give up when things get hard. And we want that, we want, we have to keep working and trying and kind of avoid this learned helplessness if it doesn't go the way we want to. And when you are encouraging, you're working so hard, you kept going, you found a different way to do this. It really helps, I think, foster the self-esteem and the internal understanding and belief system that they are capable of doing hard things. I think that's very important.
Another thing I love, I'm going to read this directly out of the CPRT manual by Bratton and Landreth, because I think it's an important part when we talk about encouragement, is that encouragement teaches children to accept their own inadequacies, learn from mistakes, right? Have confidence in themselves and feel useful through contribution. So that idea that, mistakes can be wonderful opportunities to learn how things work, how things don't work. But they may be because they've tried a creative way to do something. And I think for me, I really love that idea that it helps us look at both of our strengths and our weaknesses when we look at encouragement over praising, which is really highlighting the strengths and like villainizing our weaknesses where we don't want to accept them. We're not all good at everything.
Nope.
So, and I think, or sometimes we hyper-focus on our weaknesses or our inadequacies instead of really looking at what we do well. And I think it's an important quality to have that you can identify that I may be really good at this and not so great at that, but it doesn't diminish who I am as a person.
Absolutely. 100%. I think it's a really fundamental piece of what it is that we do. So I'm trying to think what we talked about. Why I feel like this is fast. Have we talked about? There's so I feel like yeah. I'm also distracted. So
That's okay. Yeah. Do we want to talk about the how of encouragement?
yeah,
Do we want to talk at all about praise and how this is different than praise?
I think that's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that might be helpful.
So when we think about praise, I really think about like, good job. I love it. Oh, like you did so good. You caught the, it's, you got an A. It's praising kind of like what it is that they've done. And it feels good. It feels good to receive praise and it feels good to give praise when it's authentic and genuine, I think. It feels, and that's how we're really kind of taught to show our appreciation is to praise someone.
And
And
praise is different. It can be words or it can be action. So I also want to identify that. But it could be, part of our current movement of giving every child a trophy or, giving every child that participates on this activity, sport, whatever it is, right? That they get an award. But oftentimes they don't feel real to children. When I talk about the difference between praise and encouragement, I have a nephew who was playing sports at a young age, and everyone got a trophy at the end of the year, and he threw it in the back of the car. And, sister-in-law was like, "But that's your trophy." He's like, "Everyone gets these. Like, they don't really have value sometimes." And when we overly acknowledge kids, I think they see that it feels like false encouragement. It doesn't really feel like they earned it or wanted it or whatever yet. And their team wasn't very good that year, right? And then the next year, when he was playing on a sports team that did really well and they won the championship, like that trophy is the one he hung in his room. And the other ones were somewhere at the bottom of his dresser. I joke with mine because I was an athlete growing up, I was a swimmer. And like she has a whole cabinet of the ribbons that I earned. But some of them are just like acknowledgement ribbons. And she's like, you may want these. I was like, you can throw all of those out. Like, I am okay. And she's like, no. Like, she is much more attached to them than I am. But I have really fond memories of some things that, you know, that I will talk about or that I have a lot of pride and belief in, like, what I accomplished that I will share with individuals if they ask or we talk about them or whatever it is. And so it's just kind of comical to me that we continue to repeat this pattern because I do think it feels good to us as adults to acknowledge kids. But I don't know that kids internalize it the same way. Acknowledge. Some kids do, but not all kids do.
And like Molly usually is like, why did Rhodes get a trophy and not me? And I'm like, well, you know, they won the championship. But you're right. And I think it's even funny as you, it's funny to me to think about it just in my real life as opposed
Right.
to my play therapy life. And yeah.
And I do want to say for the parents listening, or maybe even the teachers listening, when we do talk about encouragement and praise, we're not saying never praise a
Ever.
child. What we're saying is we're really out of balance right now, right?
Yes.
Like, we're overly praise heavy and really light on the encouragement. So if we're only acknowledging the things that we value as good and that, you know, we find worth in,
Yes.
that A can be a moving target for kids, but also it can start to become unachievable and
Right.
almost defeating for kids. And so it's about how do we balance it out? It's not about making it all encouragement. I do think your kids need to
Yeah.
hear you say you think they did a good job, but
Yeah.
if you only ever give value, if you're only putting value statements out there, I think that's when they can become overly dependent on you and looking towards other people to let them know if they're good or bad.
Right. It's really interesting. Two things came up for me as you were sharing this. I listened to the Armchair Expert podcast. I'm an armchairy. So, Dax and Monica, if you're listening, we'd be happy to guest on Experts on Experts. You have a lot of CBT on there. I'm just saying, we have a different perspective. Maybe we should write a book. So I also, but Phineas of, you know, Phineas and
Verb.
not Phineas,
Okay, I was like, I don't know
but
Phineas.
that's who I think of. No, the musician, Billie Eilish. Phineas is her brother
Brother.
and writing partner and musical partner. And
Okay.
he was saying that as a kid, his parents did not say, I'm so proud of you. They said, so proud of you. And how that helped him realize that his parents' love for him was not dependent and that all of that he has accomplished is because he wants it and he's proud of it and he's excited about it. Because I think the conversation stemmed from, you know, Billie Eilish, your sister gets a lot of this attention and focus, and you're also a part of it. And he's like, yeah, but I like to be a part of it. It's fun for me. It's exciting for me. I don't need everyone to recognize my part in it. I'm okay with her being the face. And I thought that was really, I think about that quite often in my own parenting and caregiving. And because I think it's much easier for me to do this within the play space, I have, it's very natural within the play space. And then trying to navigate those things as a caregiver of what that looks like. And I think it's the same with teachers. And I know this is kind of jumping to the how, but this idea that you were talking about everyone getting a trophy, how much more meaningful it is when you give out awards based upon the child and their experience. So Molly did lacrosse. It's not a sport. She's a baseball person. And it was like her award was the most like focused or something. It's probably not, but it had to do with her personality and the ways in which she showed up on the field. And that is meaningful. That feels personal. And it is still external validation, but it's an external validation of their intrinsic capacity as opposed to you were on a team. And I think that's really important, valuable.
I think it's valuable for kids, right? Because the message that they hear is about their abilities and their strengths and who they are. If she was good at lacrosse or not,
She's
right?
still,
She still came and she still put effort into it. And she had committed to the whole season of trying to figure this out, which sometimes is the reward. in the end. I know for me, like one of the that this idea of like being very externally motivated really was in like the forefront of my thought, that it was like really put into my awareness, or like highlighted to my awareness, was I was actually working as a professional. And it was a weird situation. I was teaching in a classroom. I was preschool, and the director's office was actually at the entrance of our classroom, and her office was all glass. So like we could see her all the time, which is a little nerve-wracking. And I was doing a good job in the class. If I look back now, I can say I was doing a
Of
good
course
job in the classroom, but I was so dependent on pleasing her and having her see me as a valuable member of the team that I literally, she counted one day. I think I looked over like 72 times in one day for her to kind of give me a nod of approval. And she's the first person who got to my attention. She's like, I don't know what this is about. And I was like, I think I was, you know, like then I'm like trying to reflect. I think I was trying to figure out if you thought I was doing a good job. And she's like, well, why would I not think you were doing a good job? And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And it was because what I was used to hearing was, you're good at this, you do this well. Done. So I was needing that to prove to myself, right, that I was good at these things.
Yeah.
And if I wasn't, I was going to adapt myself to get her praise, to her approval. And that's where it'd be really detrimental.
Right.
And
Especially
so.
when we think about kids in high school, and you talked about this, where it's like if you are so focused on being liked or within an in-group, or you feel isolated,
Or just with your peers, you don't have to be going into an in-group, but you want your peers to really
right,
value you.
and that can lead to some really dangerous things for acceptance. And so having that secure, you know who has that? It's frustrating, is Lee. He could care less. He's like, I'm pretty awesome. I really care other people think I'm awesome or not. And it's probably one of the things that attracted me to him so much, is that he has the self-confidence. So hopefully that'll rub off on our kids, because I'm like you. I'm like, did I do a good job? Am I okay? So
Yeah, it would be interesting to know if there are connections to gender-based messages
yeah.
that we get growing up around praise and encouragement, and like how do we form those?
Did we just come up with a research study? Because I was just saying that I have not done research in like 2 years, and I need to get back on that train. Yeah, very interesting stuff. So we kind of went on a tangent, but
We
I
do.
think it
I like
also,
tangents on this show.
we love tangents, but I think that what we're demonstrating is how a part of our adult lives this becomes. And so if we can start and shift ourselves in the ways in which we interact with children, and shift from that praise to encouragement, that it can really foster long-term impacts that I think we're all kind of hoping for. Well, thank you, Christy.
Thanks, Maggie.
It's always nice. And again, make sure to ask us questions, send us notifications through our emails, maggie@playtherapyspace.com, Christy, Kristy.
I-E.
Why did I think why all of a sudden? My mind blanked.
It's Kristie at playtherapyspace.com.
And then info@playtherapyspace.com. And I will admit that I have been a little bit swamped, and so I have not checked our email. Those that have joined our mailing list from our website, playtherapyspace.com.
We're working to get caught up, you
Yes.
guys.
And send emails. I think we've shared that this is a tough time for all of us right now in academia
In the
and
world, well,
in
not in
the
the world,
world.
in the
Oh, yeah.
US. Let's rephrase that. In the US, this is a tough time. There's a
Yeah.
lot of added stressors on people right
There are a
now.
lot of
We
things
want to
happening.
acknowledge that. And Maggie and I feel the weight of that too. And, you know, changes and other things come and we're all adjusting. And so we're learning how all the expectations on our plate right now to be able to get those newsletters out. But they are coming. So if you have signed up, Maggie and I promise we are getting those to you.
Yes. And if you're at APT, please come say hi.
Yeah.
Even though we just talked about praise and encouragement, we would love it. You don't
It's
have to
about the
praise us.
relationship.
Just
It's
say
nice
hi.
to know who we're talking to.
Yeah. And yeah. So we'll see you next week.
So, we'll have some Our next episode will be some special things from the conference, I think.
Yeah, that's what we're
And
hoping for.
Maggie? Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see
Because
how it
we
goes.
will actually not be recording at our regular time because we will both be busy.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I'll be at a meeting.
I think we're, yeah, I think there's, anyways, lots of things, but thank you. We hope to see you and we'll talk to you
A
later.
great week. Please stay safe,
Yep.
stay connected, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Christy.
Bye.